On this channel, we spent a lot of time talking about awakening, using the word awakening. And in fact, in pop culture, the word woke now is becoming trendy. Of course, it doesn't mean what I mean when I say awakening. But what do I mean when I say awakening? So I thought I would do an episode just exclusively, purely describing the subjective phenomenology of awakening. What does it feel like to awaken? Never mind what it means metaphysically, what it means for your life, what the consequences are. Forget all that. Just what does it actually feel like? And I remember when I first started learning about enlightenment and awakening, I was also very curious about this, and I didn't get very good descriptions that I found satisfying from other teachers and gurus. A lot of them are kind of quiet about it, or they tell their personal story of awakening, but it doesn't really do a good job of describing it phenomenologically. So I'm going to attempt that here today. Now, this is tricky to do by its very nature, because it's an ineffable experience, and really it goes beyond even the notion of an experience at all, and also because there are many different types and depths of awakening. That's one of the things you will realize if you do a lot of this work, is that there's so much depth and also different types and facets to awakening. In fact, I released an episode in the past called The Many Facets of Awakening, which talk about the dozens of different facets that exist to awakening. I've had hundreds of awakenings, and many of them, oddly enough, have had different flavors and hit upon different facets. Now, that doesn't mean that these awakenings all contradict each other. Actually, the opposite is the case. They beautifully synergize together, shedding light on more and more of absolute truth, but from different angles. Sometimes you get a glimpse of one facet, then another facet, then two or three facets together, and then your mind is stitching these facets together, and then in the future, as you have your awakenings, more of the facets get illuminated simultaneously for your pleasure or horror, depending on how you look at it. Some of these facets can be quite challenging to integrate, but once you do integrate them, then that opens up the possibility of stitching them and connecting them with other facets that you've yet to discover. And then eventually you can see the entire thing with all of its facets. And that's when it gets really profound. And then there's different degrees of depth to each facet and so forth. But anyways, it gets complicated. So what I'll be describing here is how I personally experience awakenings. There's a lot of variability amongst how people experience awakening and have various kinds of mystical spiritual experiences. There's an enormous amount of variability. And people use words like awakening and enlightenment and mysticism in different ways for different states of consciousness. So be careful about that too. Sometimes when people are talking about a spiritual experience or state and they use the same word, they may not be talking about the same thing. So keep that in mind too. So just because what I'll be describing here is how it feels for me doesn't mean that it will necessarily feel that way for you. So be careful with letting this sort of shape and color your own experience of awakening. You might have an awakening that's different from mine, then you might wonder, like, well, but this doesn't match up with what Leo said. And that just might be because you're different. You have a different neurology, different genetics, different way of interpreting the world and so forth. Or maybe what you had was not really a proper awakening. And it can be tricky to distinguish between those things. Also, you have to be careful to distinguish between the awakening itself versus the ego's reactions to it. And a lot of times these can get conflated. So the awakening will happen. That's one thing. And then your ego mind can still be intact and it can still be struggling, thinking, fantasizing, projecting, reacting. It can be in shock. It can be happy. It can be crying. It can be dramatic. It can be psychotic, whatever is going on. And those reactions are not the same thing as the awakening itself. You see? So it gets a little tricky there too. How do you distinguish those two things? And then also you have to distinguish between awakenings and other mystical phenomena that can occur. You could have mystical visions. You might see ghosts and aliens and DMT entities and angels and Jesus and Buddha. And that might be all well and good, but is that really awakening? Maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. See, it's a little tricky. So what I'm going to try to explain here is what I would call sort of a pure, and I use that word sort of loosely, a pure awakening without a bunch of mystical visionary stuff, which could or could not accompany an awakening. So just because there's mystical visionary stuff doesn't mean that it's automatically not an awakening. But also, just because that's there, you know, Jesus shows up to you or something, or you see an angel, that also doesn't mean it is an awakening. So what exactly is an awakening? Well, let's clear this up. I actually sort of kind of want to guide you through it a little bit from like a first-person experience, so you can sort of imagine it for yourself. But also, with the warning that anything you imagine awakening is, it's not. So everything that I share with you here, it's all just going to be stories and fantasies. It's not going to actually be awakening. The real awakening, if you ever experience it, will be something radically beyond whatever you imagine it to be. But anyways, let's give it a shot. So also, the reason that I wanted to shoot this episode is because maybe this will clear up some misconceptions. Because a lot of times when spiritual teachers don't fill in the blanks and they kind of just leave things vague and ambiguous, that sort of Zen approach, you know, that very tacit Zen style of spiritual teaching. The problem with that is that the active mind fills in the gaps with a bunch of fantasies and bullshit. So personally, I think that it's very dangerous to give spiritual students ambiguous, vague notions of what awakening is, because their mind is not just going to sit around idly and accept this emptiness that the teacher has left in the student's mind. The mind is going to fill it in with all sorts of projections, assumptions, fantasies, and expectations, which are probably going to be very deeply wrong. More wrong than if the teacher actually colored in some of the details. So here's me coloring in some of the details. All right, so imagine this. You're just sitting there, like you are right now. You're just sitting there. You're looking around the room. It's an ordinary room. Colors, sounds, feelings in your body. Nothing changes in your visual field. Colors and objects remain the same as they always were. So one of the misconceptions that people have about awakening is that they ask sort of like, well, what is the visual content? Because we're very visual creatures. What is the visual content of an awakening? Like, what do you see? Or what do you not see, in the sense that, like, do I stop seeing altogether? Does my vision disappear? Do objects disappear? Is there just literally an empty void of nothing? And what I'm telling you is no. Nothing visually changes. Strictly speaking, in a pure awakening, the only thing that changes, imagine like this. Imagine there's a dial, like a master volume knob on a sound controller. This is the consciousness dial. This dial regulates how conscious you are. Right now, for you, for an ordinary person, that dial is set to like a 3, let's say. If you're sleepy, that dial is like at a 1. If you're dreaming in deep sleep, that dial is maybe at a 0.2. And if you're totally unconscious, that dial is at 0. So the difficulty of explaining this to an ordinary person who's never experienced it is that for most people, their experience of what this dial can do only ranges from 0 to 3. It's never gone any higher than 3. Maybe it's gone to a 4. Like, if you've meditated for a bit, you can sit there, you can kind of focus, and you can become a little more conscious, and maybe it cranks from a 3 to a 4. If you're very, very clear-minded and sober. So really, in a sense, this dial controls your sobriety. Ordinarily, we think that, like, this normal state that we're in, this is sobriety, right? Well, that's a sobriety level 3. But you can crank this master knob of consciousness, and it starts to increase your sobriety. To a 4, to a 5, to a 6. It goes up to 11. And then it goes up to 100. And then it keeps spinning to 1,000. And then it keeps spinning to 100,000. And you realize that this knob spins forever. There's no limit to how sober and conscious you can become. It just so happens you live most of your life out of 3. And so have all your friends and all the people you know. And so there's a point at which the knob gets cranked, let's say to 1,000 or beyond. There's almost a very distinct threshold that is crossed where you look at the room. Nothing has changed. The colors are all the same. The objects are all the same. You look at your hands, your body. You look around the room and you realize, oh my God, I'm awake. This is what it means to be awake. It's just that that knob has gotten cranked up so much. You become so awake, you become so woke that it's terrifying. It's frightening how awake you are. You become so awake that you're beyond human levels of awakeness. You're so conscious, you're impossibly conscious. Your mind cannot fathom how conscious you've become. You've become so conscious, it's surreal. It is beyond what you would think is physically possible or scientifically possible. And your initial reaction is going to be something like, what the fuck is this? This is impossible. What is happening to me? It feels like something, some alien force has taken over your mind and your body. It feels unreal, but at the same time, it's the most real thing there is, because this knob, this is the knob, you might also call it not just consciousness, but reality itself. The more this knob is cranked up, the more real things get. The more you see things for what they are. So like right now, when you're at a 3 and you're sitting here and you're looking at a coffee table, to you, it looks like a coffee table, and that's just what it is. When the knob gets cranked up to 1,000 or to 100,000, that coffee table, even though its colors and its shape doesn't change at all, what you understand it to be completely changes. You no longer see it as just a coffee table, as a physical object in a physical room, part of a physical universe made of atoms and whatever else you believe about it. That object almost becomes like an alien object. And it's as though you're looking at that object for the first time. And when you look at that object, you truly see it for what it really is for the first time. And it feels like the reason it's called awakening is it feels like you've awoken from the dream called life. You become so conscious, it's as though you're able to pierce through the fabric of physical material reality just with your mind. And you're able to comprehend its structure in its totality, what it is, Now, this is not a mental activity you're doing in the sense that you're sitting there thinking a bunch of thoughts the way that a scientist might if a scientist was thinking about some complex problem. It's not a function of complexity. It's a function of, well, consciousness. You become directly conscious of what things are, unmediated by any kind of thinking process. You just intuitively grasp objects in a highly multidimensional way, and you instantly understand what they are, what they really absolutely are. This is more than just experience. This is a heightening, a sharpening of what experience is, because your experience usually is at a level 3 consciousness. And here it goes up to 1,000 or 100,000. So this awakening is a pure lucidity. That's a good word for it, lucidity. We're just cranking up how lucid you are. It's an impossible level of consciousness. It's a level of consciousness that can't be imagined when you're at a level 3. Because that level 3 is what limits your imagination. I could also describe it that it feels as though the air got sucked out of the room. Everything becomes just crystal clear and perfectly lucid. It's like you're sitting in a vacuum, looking at the room. The room becomes crystalline, luminous, hollow, empty, a pure luminous void. Now, the word void here is a little bit misleading, because when I say the word void, you might tend to think like the room disappears, the colors disappear, but they don't. All the colors are there. They're sharper than ever. They're brighter than ever. You recognize the self-luminous nature of consciousness and all objects. What you consider matter gets recontextualized as your own consciousness, and its luminosity becomes just blatantly apparent, undeniable, this absolute luminosity. You realize that consciousness is self-knowing and self-illuminating. Physical objects that you look at start to feel and take on the flavor of a hologram or a mirage, an illusion. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say a hologram or a mirage, I don't mean that the objects become transparent, like a hologram in Star Wars. They maintain all the same solidity and color and opacity that they had before. Your hand will not go through a coffee table. It will hit the coffee table just like it did before. So in that sense, it's not a hologram. But what I mean is that you realize that the physicality that you attribute to that coffee table is actually always was just a projection of your mind. And that really, that coffee table is not a solid object the way that you usually thought of it. It is like a mirage. It is a mirage held within consciousness. It's a solid-feeling mirage, but what you also realize is that solidity itself is also just another feature or mirage within consciousness. So even though your hand cannot go through a coffee table in this state, that doesn't undermine the fact that it's a mirage. Everything feels more vivid, and there's a hyper-presence. Like, you're ridiculously present. You're so present, it's scary. You never knew this level of presence was possible. And then what you notice, this pure luminosity that I was talking about, really what it does, it gives way to divinity. What you realize is divinity or spirit. The reason they call it spirituality. What is spirit? Spirit is what, at a level three, we ordinarily call matter or physical stuff, physical objects. So everything that you're seeing right now in this video, if you're watching this, this is all spirit. The entire room that you're in, look around you. Look at your body, look at your hands. All of this is spirit. In fact, there's nothing but spirit. So what happens is that physicality and matter gets recontextualized as spirit or divinity. Why is it divinity? Why is it spirit? This will puzzle many people who have not experienced this. And I don't know if I can help to really explain it, because spirit and divinity are the best terms for it. Literally, it is spirit, it is divinity. So as it turns out, what divinity is not some metaphor. And it's not some stuff that some religious people made up because they were fundamentalists and dogmatic ideologues. Divinity is what happens when the knob of consciousness gets cranked up to 1,000 or 100,000. The more it gets cranked up, the more you recognize that everything that's happening here is divine. What does that really mean? I'm struggling for words to explain it. Well, what you realize is that experience, the raw qualia of experience, is absolute truth. It actually never was an experience. It just simply always was absolute truth. And when you realize the absoluteness of raw experience, it gets recontextualized as something that used to be temporal, from something that used to be temporal into something that is now eternal. Literally, what you become conscious of is that this qualia, the phenomenal experience that you're having right now, this present moment of this room, of that coffee table, of your hands, or whatever else you're looking at, it's happening in eternity. It's not happening through time. It's eternal. It exists eternally in the mind of God. And so what happens is that all of these colors and sounds and feelings that you usually experience and attribute to biological processes in a human creature organism, all of that gets wiped away, and you realize that actually all of this is the light of God. It's God shining through itself to itself. It's the mind of God self-illuminated. And color and sound and all sensation, the entire phenomenal manifold of your five senses, gets recontextualized, and you realize it for what it really is, which is pure magic. It's acausal. There's no scientific cause behind it. There's no cause and effect. There's no chain of causation that led up to it. There's no physical laws. There's no evolution. There's no history. There's no mathematics. There's no computer simulation. It's pure amechanical magic. It's pure manifestation. Mind manifesting itself instantaneously. The mind of God. And then if your knob gets cranked up a little bit deeper, I mean a little bit higher, and your awareness goes from looking out at the room more inwards towards the center of who you are, the observer of this room, what you realize then is you have the I am God awakening. You realize that you are God. So first you realize that the room is God. And then when you turn that in towards yourself, then you kind of ask yourself, well, what am I? in relation to the room, you realize, oh, yes, the room is God, but the room is me, and I am therefore God. And there's a very distinct couple of insights that you get here. One is, first of all, you realize for the first time in your life that God is real. You realize what God is instantly, like within less than a millisecond, you have a complete, well, I wouldn't say complete, but you have a, you finally have a recognition that God exists. Not as a belief or a speculation or a philosophical postulate, but God, right here, right now, right before you. You're face to face with God. You have an instant comprehension and intuition that God is real. And now you finally understand what the word God refers to. So for your entire life, people have been using the word God, and you sort of understood what it means intellectually, but you had no idea until this precise moment, and some switch was flipped. And right as that switch was flipped, now finally you understand what the word God was pointing to. That's a huge epiphany. That's a life changer right there. So that's your first time ever discovering that God is real. But just because that switch was flipped doesn't mean that you yet understand that you are God. That goes a little bit deeper. That requires a little bit more consciousness and actually a little bit more facing of yourself, because there's a wall of denial between God and you that prevents you from accepting yourself as God. So a lot of people can have a mystical experience of God as other, something out there beyond, but they'll never connect the dot between themselves and what that other is, which means that they're not fully awake. But if we crank the consciousness up some more and we also lower your defenses and denials, that wall of denial, then you realize and you turn inwards, you take that awakened consciousness and you turn inwards, you realize, oh, of course I'm God. Not just a part of God. See, again, people are so in denial about the fact that they are God that they might even then say, oh, yeah, Leo, I'm a part of God. Sure, maybe. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you are the entire God. The God. Not a subset of God, not a part of God, not a toenail of God. The entire fucking God. And it's only when you fully embrace that do you really understand what God is, what you are, and only then would I say you're truly awake. Until you reach this point, you're not fully awake. And at this point, it feels very much like the universe has awoken to itself. For the first time in your experience, you as the universe realize you are the entire universe, and you always have been, and that you were just dreaming that you were human. And when that happens, your reaction is probably something along the lines of, if you're like me, now I understand. Now I really understand what's going on. See, you had no clue what the universe was up to, what the universe was, what life was. You had no clue what these things were until this moment. Only now do you understand. Does it all make sense? All the pieces of life and existence finally fit together. And now you finally understand everything that's been going on. You finally see the game that was being played here, the cosmic game that God was playing with itself, dreaming itself into a human existence. Another thing that will accompany this is a universal sense of self. self with a capital S. Now, you tell yourself something along the lines of, I am the universe. You've become universal. You've went from a human in the universe to the universe dreaming itself as a human. You become cosmic. I am cosmic. I am the whole cosmos. And you feel like the whole cosmos. Your body especially gets recontextualized. As cosmic stuff, not a physical object, but really cosmic, metaphysical. Your body goes from being physical to metaphysical. It's beyond physical. And yet the colors don't change. The shape of your body doesn't change. You just realize that your body always was metaphysical, and that physicality was just some bullshit you were imagining to fool yourself into thinking you're human. Also, this may or may not happen to you, but ideally it would. Your sense of scale should disappear. So the idea that you're a small human inside of some larger universe, this should disappear. You should take on the scale of the entire universe. Or what you should realize, that scale is relative. There's no such thing as scale. That means that when you look at your hands, you should realize that the scale of your hands is exactly the same size as the entire Milky Way galaxy. There's no difference between the Milky Way galaxy's scale, the scale of your hands, and the scale of one of your hairs on one of your fingers. Like, each hair on my hand is an entire galaxy onto itself. That's how conscious you become. And if you become even more conscious beyond that, you can actually zoom in to every hair on your hand, and you can realize that it's infinite. That means it goes on forever. You can keep zooming into that hair forever. And in there, you will find more and more complexity and form, just like if you were zooming out of the Earth, you know, you would keep zooming out and you would see galaxies and star systems and nebula and supernovas and whatever else, and you could keep zooming in out and out and out. Well, you can keep zooming in forever too. And it's when you realize you can zoom out forever, you can zoom in forever, that no matter how zoomed in or out you are, you're always in the middle of everything that is, everything that you are, and therefore you are literally infinite and cosmic. And that there's no scale to anything. Scale loses all sense of proportion at this point, because it's infinite in all directions. Another distinct epiphany and realization that comes with awakening is this profound existential sense of I am-ness. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. I exist absolutely. I am existence itself. I am. For the first time in your life, you realize the significance of I am. And when you say I am, you're not saying I am a human. You're saying I am as existence itself. You are all of existence. This I am-ness is absolute. It has no opposite. And you realize that you can't not exist. Another thing that usually accompanies this is, of course, you transcend death. This can be framed in two ways. One way you can frame it is you could say, I've died. I've literally died, and yet I'm still conscious. You could frame it like that. Or you could frame it as death is imaginary and death is impossible because I am, I've always been, and I'll always be because I'm existence itself. So both are just two sides of the same coin. And you can experience them in both ways. You can experience that as though you're dying. That's kind of if you're coming at it from the ego's perspective, then it feels like the ego is dying or it has already died. So that can be kind of shocking from the ego's point of view. Or if you are able to let go of the ego, then you can kind of just realize that the ego was just some imaginary construct, and it's not even appropriate to call it death, because that's just some, it's just a, literally just like a thought in your mind. You just let that go, and then you realize that you're the cosmic God mind, and then as the cosmic God mind, there's a death is just another thought. It's just a figment of God's imagination. There's no such thing as death. There never was. Just a dream. You have this surreal sense that your entire life was a dream. And this is the most astounding thing ever, because it feels like you've broken reality. It feels like you've broken your mind. You've gone so deep into your own mind that you've realized that the mind wasn't contained inside of a brain, but rather that the brain was just a construct of mind. And when you've realized that, you've broken through the physical barriers that you thought were there your whole life. It's as shocking as walking through a wall. So imagine if you just tried to walk through a wall right now and it worked. Imagine how astounded you would be. Well, what I'm describing here is as astounding, if not more astounding than that. When it's happening to you, it's so surreal, it seems so impossible, that it strains your mind's credulity. Like, sometimes critics will hear me talk about this stuff and say, oh, Leo, well, this is just stuff you experience because you want to believe it. No, 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 you don't understand how deep this goes. This is so deep, these realizations are so deep, that you can't believe it. You can't even imagine it. You're in shock that it's happening to you. And yet it is happening to you. That's what's so shocking about it. And also, of course, what accompanies all this is that it's so fucking obvious. You say to yourself, of course, this is the most obvious thing ever. Of course, I'm the entire universe dreaming up my life. Of course, it's so obvious. It's just crystal clear. There's no doubt whatsoever. You're absolutely certain of it. You're so certain and it's so obvious that you might start to laugh because it's like a joke that anybody could ever doubt this. Another aspect of the realization is that it's so radical. And you'll probably be muttering to yourself as it's happening to you, this is so goddamn radical. Like, it's radical beyond any definition of radical. There can't be anything more radical than this in reality. Another thought that will probably cross your mind is that this is not at all what I thought it was going to be like. Here I spent years and years reading about awakening and thinking about awakening and dreaming about awakening and fantasizing about being awake. And now that it's actually happened to me, it's nothing like I imagined. Not even close. All that stuff that I thought awakening was, it's all bullshit. None of it was awakening. This is the real awakening. All of those were just stories and delusions. And you realize for the first time in your life what it truly means to say that the map is not the territory. For the first time in your life, you realized the territory. And it's completely different than you thought it was. It's so far in the opposite direction of what you thought it was that you can't even imagine how you could have been so wrong. Imagine being so wrong about the nature of reality that you couldn't possibly be more wrong. That's how wrong you are. And you'll realize that. And it'll shock you how wrong you were. And all of your ideas about the Buddha and Jesus and all this stuff, it'll shock you how wrong you were. In a good way. Because it's even more amazing than you imagined. It's impossibly amazing. It's literally impossible. What's happening to you is impossible, and yet it's happening to you. And that's why you call it divine. It's way too good to be true. It's impossible that this is true. It can't be true. And yet it's absolutely true. Another thought that will probably cross your mind is, there was never a self. Of course there was never a finite self. Of course there was never a human self that was born. Of course. How could I have been so fucking stupid to ever buy this ridiculous notion of a human self inside of a human body? This is just idiotic. I was such an idiot for believing there was a self. Of course there's no self. How could there be a self? This is what you'll be telling yourself. And then, after you're done with that, you'll look around the room in your awakened state and you'll realize, oh, of course. So this is what is meant by nothing. This is nothing. Now I'm conscious of nothing. And again, you'll be shocked that nothing is not what you imagined it to be. Nothing is not a lack of color or sound or taste or sensation or objects. Nothing is the entire experience of life as you've always experienced it. It's nothing. Life has gotten recontextualized as absolutely nothing. This is nothing. And then you'll realize that it's also everything. And then you'll realize that I am nothing and I am everything. And that, of course, they're the same thing. How could nothing and everything be different? What would separate them? And you'll realize that there are no boundaries between anything. What is a boundary? Of course, there's no boundaries. And then you'll realize pure oneness, since all the boundaries dissolve between everything. You'll realize, of course, reality is just pure oneness. And then everything will make sense. Oneness explains everything. And then maybe you'll realize that since I'm everything, I'm also the coffee table. I'm the cup. I'm the faucet. I'm the refrigerator. I'm the pencil lying on the table. I'm the carpet. I'm the chair. I'm everything. And then you'll realize, maybe, if you go a little deeper, and you turn that awareness even more deeply into your own psyche, you'll realize, oh my God, I'm also everyone, not just everything. I am my mother. I am my father. I am everybody who I've ever interacted with. They are all my own mind. They were all me this entire time. All people are me. You might also realize or become conscious that the past is imaginary. You're imagining the past in the present. It might also feel like every moment in your life has been perfectly engineered to lead up to this very point of awakening, as though the very function of life and existence itself has been this moment of awakening. And of course, that's exactly what life is. Life is just a construct to allow God to awaken to itself. So that time that you were a kid back in elementary school and your parents bought you an ice cream cone and you licked that ice cream cone and then it fell to the ground and then you started crying. You remember that time and you realize, of course, that was just a stepping stone to my awakening right now. And everything makes sense at that point. And then if you crank that that knob a little bit further, you realize what you really are, what God really is infinity. What is really going on? What is reality really? How did it get here? Infinity. You are infinity. Pure infinite consciousness. At this point, you're overwhelmed with a sense of wholeness and completion. You feel totally complete. You feel totally at one with yourself. You're completely satisfied, a satisfaction beyond anything a human can imagine. You're totally complete forever. You are infinity. You're everything. You're everything that could possibly exist. You're total, you're complete, you're absolute. And this generates the deepest sense of peace that you can possibly imagine. Just a profound sense of tranquility hits you. And you realize to yourself that this is the greatest thing ever. There can't be anything greater in the universe than this. And then you probably think to yourself, this will change the whole world. If only the whole world knew about this. This changes everything. You might also be tempted to go inwards and to kind of define what you really are. Like, but what am I? You still aren't clear about what you are. Because the ego mind is trying to put its finger on what it is, on what God is, and it can't. Everything the ego points its finger at isn't it. And so there's going to be this sort of confusion in your mind where it's like, yeah, I understand that I'm God. I understand that I'm nothing, but what is nothing? I want to define it. I want to grab it. I want to encapsulate it. I want to, well, how can I latch onto this nothing? And you realize, of course, that you can't. It's undefinable, literally. Infinity is undefinable, ungraspable. It can't grasp itself. It's slippery. And that slipperiness is its very essence. And that's why you struggled so much to grasp it, because you can't grasp it. Even God can't grasp itself. It's a mystery unto itself. And then you fully realize the mystery of what you are, the mystery of infinity, the mystery of God. This is a profound existential mystery that leaves you in awe and wonder. And yet you're absolutely conscious of its mystery. That it is a mystery. It's an eternal mystery unto itself. That's just the nature of infinity. You also realize that it's utter perfection. It's absolutely perfect. It's heaven. You are in heaven at this point. And you realize infinite beauty. It's infinitely beautiful. You are infinitely beautiful. You realize for the first time in your life your own infinite beauty and your own perfection, which melts away all of your self-judgments and hatreds and criticisms and lack of love. For the first time in your life, you appreciate how beautiful you are and you fully accept yourself. And there you go. That's what I would call a pure awakening. Now, be careful here, because what I've described is actually not a single awakening, but a series of many awakenings that I've had kind of combined together. So the chances that when you go on your next meditation retreat, or you do your next psychedelic or whatever, or you do some yoga, the chances that you're going to reach this level of depth and breadth of awakening that I just described here is extremely low, virtually zero. In practice, what's going to happen is that you're going to get glimpses of these different facets that I've talked about. I've stitched together many facets here for you to present sort of the whole thing, but it's very unlikely that you're going to be able to grasp that whole thing all at once, especially in your early awakenings. It's just too much. It's shocking. Some of these facets just by themselves are so shocking and terrifying that it will take you months to integrate just one of these facets after you have it, assuming you even reach it, which could take you years just to reach it. And then you got to integrate it. And then you got to go back for more and find new facets and then integrate those and then stitch those together. So the whole thing, I mean, this we're talking years here, maybe decades of work to reach that what I've talked about. And also, even though I painted a relatively complete picture here of what I would call a pure awakening, I still haven't communicated the highest levels of awakening. This is still not the highest levels of awakening. This is what I would call sort of intermediate levels. The highest levels are so shocking, it's and so ineffable that they can't really be talked about. Basically, at the highest levels, I'll give you a little clue, even though I won't tell you much. At the highest levels, what happens is at the highest levels, the colors and sounds and feeling, the visual field actually starts to break down and collapse. Because you're becoming so conscious that even the physical distinctions between walls, your body, and the coffee table, all of these physical distinctions start to break down. You realize that they were all imaginary. And the entire room sort of collapses, starts to collapse in on itself as the dream and mirage that it is. And then it turns into just an infinite singularity. Basically, imagine what existed sort of before the Big Bang. If you take all the matter in the universe and you condense it down into an infinitely small point that's smaller than the tip of a needle. And yet it's all completely conscious of itself. That's what you become. You become this perfectly symmetrical. You become almost spherical. Or imagine becoming a geometric point. A point in geometry has zero dimension. It's a zero-dimensional object. It has no length or depth or breadth or size. And yet it exists. And in that point is contained absolutely everything it could possibly be. And that's what you become, and it's perfectly conscious of itself. And that is sort of the pinnacle of the Godhead. So that would be the highest awakening, at least that I've personally accessed. And at that point, there is no form. There is no colors and sounds, because you're too conscious even for colors and sounds to exist. So there you go. Now maybe you have an idea of what you're shooting for. Now again, these are just my experiences of my awakenings. To be honest, I have no idea what it's like for other people, because I only have my own awakenings to work with. So I'm just speaking from my own experience here. Now, some people will say, well, but Leo, aren't these just pleasant experiences that you're having? These are just states that are generated by the brain, right? No. If you think that, you don't understand what I'm communicating. these are, it's improper to even call these experiences. Although they're not different from experiences, but what you call an experience, what you think of as an experience, is a deeply corrupted notion that your ego mind has concocted. So to call what I'm talking about here as experience is absurd. What I'm talking about is absolute truth. And it's not rendered by any kind of brain. It's not beholden to any scientific process, any mechanical process. It's not beholden to atoms, to molecules, to matter, to neurons, to computer simulations, to calculations, to mathematics, none of that. It's beholden to nothing. It's bounded by nothing. It's limited by nothing. It's pure infinity. It's not happening to a human. It's not happening to a creature. It's not a biological event. It's not a physical process. It's not evolutionary. It didn't evolve. It didn't have a history. It wasn't caused by anything. If you think, oh, Leo, well, this was just caused by a chemical psychedelic. No, it wasn't caused by anything. Oh, Leo, but this was just caused by some meditation technique. No, it wasn't caused by anything. It's uncaused. From your current level of consciousness at a level 3, that's impossible. And you can't understand how that's possible until you crank that up to 1,000 or more. And remember, be careful, because none of your ideas of awakening are correct. And even everything I shared with you here, you might say, ah, Leo, okay, so now I understand what awakening is, right? Wrong. You have no idea. Everything I told you is as wrong and far away from awakening as you could imagine. When you actually awaken, you will look back upon this and you will laugh at how wrong it was. So you might wonder, well, Leo, why did you tell me all this? Well, because that's the existential bind that we're in. If I don't tell you about awakening, we're damned. If I do tell you about awakening, we're also damned. We're damned if we do and damned if we don't. That's just the limitations of language and of mind and of your level of consciousness. You got to understand that this master control knob of consciousness, this is the bottleneck of everything, right? You can't be at a level 3 consciousness and then just assume that from that level you can see higher levels. You can't. You can't see above your level. So the only solution to that is not to stay at your level and then try to imagine higher levels. The solution is to actually grab that knob and fucking crank it to 1,000. That will solve your problem. No amount of sciencing or logicking this thing or debating this thing or imagining this thing or fantasizing about it is going to change the fact that you're stuck at a fucking 3. When you're at a 3, no amount of thinking will get you above a 3. No amount of logic will get you above a 3. No amount of science will get you above a 3. You will be at a 3 forever until you crank that knob to something higher. That's just the nature of the beast. All right, that's it. Now you understand what awakening is. All done. So I'm done here. Click that like button for me and come check out actualize.org. On the actualize.org website, you will find resources. You will find a book list. The book list is crucial to help you to wrap your mind around some of the things I'm saying. I say some radical and crazy things on this channel. That your mind will probably not want to believe. It'll be unbelievable, literally, to your mind. So how do you validate some of these things? Well, obviously by cranking that knob, but before you're actually going to even muster the courage to crank that knob, read some books. I got some incredible books on my book list written by masters and experts and teachers and researchers and PhDs and God knows who else, that will help you to convince you that this is something that's not just ideas that I've made up. These aren't just Leo's delusions, right? I'm not the first person who's talked about this. I won't be the last. Thousands of people have experienced this stuff for themselves. you can too, right? So the books help with that. They help to lend a little bit of authority to this stuff if you need that. Now, you don't need that. The truth doesn't depend upon the authority of any book or human, but your dense mind might be benefited by that. So check out my book list. Check out my Life Purpose course. That's also available there. You can also find my blog where I post all sorts of interesting insights, videos, links, resources, articles. Don't miss those. I put quite a bit of time into my blog. Come to the forum, ask questions. Support me at patreon.com/actualized. I appreciate that. And check out my second channel called Actualized Clips. And then I'll end on one final point, which is actually rather important. So listen close. Look, a lot of spiritual teachers and masters will try to convince you. There's this trend, this sort of neo-Advaita trend online. They'll try to convince you that awakening is nothing special. Awakening is the most ordinary thing. It's not astounding. It's not special. It's not interesting. It's just the most ordinary thing. So don't go chasing after some extraordinary thing. Right? You've heard this if you watched many of these sort of neo-Advaita teachers guiding you toward through self-inquiry and stuff like this. This is deeply misleading. Deeply, deeply misleading. There can be shallow versions of awakening which are not very extraordinary. But there's just no way that you are going to comprehend the absolute nature of yourself, God, and the universe, and not be totally blown away by it. The only way it won't blow you away is if you don't actually comprehend it fully. And I see a lot of people who get into these neo-Advaita teachings with self-inquiry and this sort of direct pointing methods and so forth. Then they start even denying things that like God, they start denying things like love, they start denying things like infinity and whatever else, dismissing these as just mystical experiences or some sort of ego concoctions or whatever, because awakening is just supposed to be this simple, ordinary emptiness or something. What they imagine the Buddha taught. That's actually not what the Buddha taught, but they imagine that's what the Buddha taught. This is weak sauce spirituality. It's a weak sauce version of awakening. This is not even close to a full awakening. It's a very deep trap. These people have no deep grasp of what reality actually is. What they've done is they've fooled themselves into emptying their mind through some kind of practices. And they've had some little glimpse of no self or something like that, or emptiness. And they think that they've comprehended the entire beast. And they haven't. They haven't. And I've been misled and gaslit by these people for a long time. In my own journey, it's taken me a lot of struggle to figure out just how fucking wrong these people are. So watch out. There's traps within traps within traps in this work. And when you think you've fully awoken, that might be the biggest trap of all. So watch out. Watch out with these shallow teachings. If your teacher or guru is teaching you a version of awakening that is not completely ripping your whole reality apart and making you shit in your pants in awe and horror, leaving you completely dumbstruck and flabbergasted, and writhing on the floor in ecstasy and wonder and mystery and horror, then it's not a full awakening. It's far shy of that. You're not comprehending how deep consciousness goes. Now, at the same time, even though I say that, Of course, these teachers are right in a certain sense, in the sense that if what you do is you're always chasing some sort of peak experience or high, or you're chronically abusing psychedelics, and you're not willing to just sit down and do the work and to actually do the hard manual labor of like a 10-day boring-ass grinding meditation retreat, that is a problem. So there's sort of a middle ground here between, it's not an either-or, like you treat awakening as just some ordinary, simple nothingness or emptiness, or you're chasing some sort of egoic, mystical experiences. It's like, no, there's something in the middle. These things that I'm describing, these facets, are definitely not egoic experiences. And they're way beyond just ordinary realizations of no self. No self is a relatively minor and easy attainment on this, in this work, on this path. God realization is way beyond that. And then, you know, infinite, absolute infinite consciousness is even beyond that. So just keep that in mind. Don't rest on your laurels when you have some awakening or some attainment. Great. But then also, the reason I'm saying this is not to elevate myself, but just I'm saying this so that you don't get stuck at a low version of awakening. Because I see a lot of people do that, and they fool themselves, and then they convince themselves that, okay, that's it, I'm done. I'm done. Enough of this chasing and seeking, it's just all ego. Like, they take this attitude, and they think that they're being wise and spiritual when they do this. They aren't. They're fucking stupid. They aren't fully awake. They don't really understand what reality is. And you can easily demonstrate this to yourself once you do fully awaken. You can just look at people. You can ask them, you can just ask them one or two questions. And just how they answer you instantly tells you that they're not fully awake and that they haven't realized what God is or what love is or what infinity is or these other things. You can instantly recognize these things. And then you can laugh at these stupid neo-Advaita people who tell you that awakening is not astounding and extraordinary. It is the most extraordinary fucking thing that there could possibly exist. It's so extraordinary, you can't even imagine how extraordinary it is. And yet, at the same time, it can also be very ordinary. That's the paradox of it. And you have to distinguish what I'm telling you here from some sort of, you know, mystical visions of Jesus and stuff. That's not what I've been describing here. I've been describing a very pure form of awakening. There's a lot of weird, new-agey, mystical, visionary stuff that you can experience with spiritual practices. Various kinds of cities and astral projections and DMT entities and angels and shit. I haven't talked about that stuff at all. I consider all that tangential. Now, I'm not denying those things can be conjured up by consciousness. Consciousness can conjure up anything. So I don't put anything beyond the ken of consciousness. But that is not like the purest, highest awakening. In fact, I wouldn't even call that awakening proper. Like, to see an angel, if you see one, it's not awakening. It might be a powerful mystical experience. It might be life-changing for you. It might even improve your life. It might get you to believe in God. Because if there's angels, you probably figure, well, God must be real too. It might do that, but that is not the same thing as realizing that you are God. And by the way, I have not, in this episode, described all of the facets of awakening. There are more facets that I have neglected here. For example, one of the facets that I neglected is the facet of self-design. I talk about it in my episode, The Many Facets of Awakening. Go check that out. But even that episode doesn't cover all the facets because I'm still discovering more facets. I've had hundreds of awakenings. I'm still discovering more facets. So one of the facets is self-design. You become so conscious that you're God that you realize how you're actually designing the entire universe right now as you're sitting here. You see, that's what a full awakening really gets you. It's a deep comprehension of everything. It's like the ultimate big picture. It's not limited to some angel or some Buddha or just some Jesus. It is a cosmic scale self-understanding. So by no means is what I explained here the full picture. There's more stuff that I didn't have time to explain that I forgot to explain. I literally have to keep lists of all the facets that I've discovered because there's so many, it's hard to keep them all in my memory. But if you want that list, at least a good portion of that list, go check out my episode, The Many Facets of Awakening, and stay tuned in the future for more, and I'll share more facets that I've discovered as well.